rendering in the meat and potatoes of the kosher's concepts. And I think it's just it's important to just remind ourselves where we are. So a quick 20-second commercial break. I think that's worthwhile. So here we go.
Morning, Rabbi.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Good morning. Yesterday we discussed the topic of not bar not. No Saint Tom by no Saint Tom. We mentioned the idea that it's all about taste. That is what really distinguishes and tells us about transfer, about taste. And if a person, you taste the foreign substance or the challenging substance, that is a problem. And the question is going to be, under what circumstance does this taste transfer? And how much gets transferred? And how much we have to be concerned when there's a no sin tam bar no sin tam, not bar not. And the reason why this is an issue is because, write this down. And the reason why this is an issue is because of the following. Let me explain. We said yesterday that what happens if I take noodles and I cook them in a dairy, in a kosher pot? Can I now then take my noodles that I've cooked up into a pot and eat it with dairy? After all, the noodles are made in a meat pot. We saw yesterday there's a machlokas between the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says it's permissible, and the Ramah says it's not permissible. If you do b'di'avad, it's okay, but not l'chatchila. And because of that situation, we see that one should really not cook your noodles or pasta in a meat pot to eat them with dairy. You should not do that. And if you want to understand what is the rationale behind the Shulchan Aruch, so that is where we are on page 156. I think that brings everyone up to speed on page 156. Says the Shach in source 9. But what the Shach here wants to say is that lechatchila, right? The lechatchila, he says, and not everyone agrees with the Shach, by the way, you should know. He says that even the Shulchan Aruch says that's not lechatchila to do. Others do not accept that position. That in fact, if you take a look at the little box in between 9 and 10, that's what he says. Real Sephardi poskim, they actually say, no, it's not like the Shach. In fact, it would be allowed to. It is permissible to do that. So, and that's exactly, if you take a look in source number 10, which is Yaakov Yosef, which is Faradi Tahor, right? Ravelia Yosef, he says, Mutar lechatchila lafos pas beklisha basar bin yomo. I want you to realize this, people. This is like revolutionary. I can make bread in a fleshic pot. Well, I guess you don't make bread in a pot. You make bread in a loaf pan. I made for lunch a meat,
meatloaf.
Meatloaf, thank you. I don't like meatloaf. That's why I've maybe had a hard time finding that word.
You don't like good meatloaf then, Rabbi.
You know what? I find meatloaf is just a poor way to eat good meat.
It's like eating a burger.
Think of it like that. Okay. So if it's a burger, that's fine. But I don't know why. Fine. We have to start making meatloaf around here. Accepted. Now, so imagine this. I want you to realize this. You made meatloaf for lunch. Let's pretend you're a little European and you have your heavy meal at lunch. For dinner, you're baking bread in the same meatloaf pan. I mean, you cleaned it out a little bit, right? Not a little bit. You cleaned it out. Listen to this. Now, what have you done? Look at the Yoga Yosef, 10. Aldat lecho apat imach lechalav. That bread that you just baked, in a pan that was used for meatloaf, you're allowed to lechatchila take that bread and now eat it with butter, with dairy. Why? Because it's not barnat lehatera. That bread, yes, it's true that it was made in a meat pan, but it's not barnat lehatera. It's no seitan, bar no seitan. It's the meat from lunch that went into the pan that then goes into the pan and goes back into your bread. And now you're eating that bread with dairy for dinner. He says, that's two stages away. And that's what he says. It's permissible. All the tagen beitza machvat besari, or to make eggs in a frying pan with shemen, with oil, to eat it later on, or to eat it not later on, to eat it 2 minutes later, even though you made the eggs in a electric frying pan, to eat it with cheese. No problem whatsoever. That being said, time out. The Ben Ishchai does not like this at all. Source 11, he says, I know what Maran says. I know Shachanan says, but it's only b'di'evad, not l'chadchid. Okay, so this is machlokas amongst Faradim. In the situation of not parnat, is it a l'chadchila or is it a b'di'evad? Fine. And by the way, this is a ben yomo pot, right? The same day you use it for pleshaks, you're eating with mochaks. That's, I want to highlight that again, please. The Ramah in source 12 and 157. The Ramah says, yeah, but you made your meatloaf on Tuesday, and today's Wednesday. In that case, says the Ramah, if you made your meatloaf on Tuesday, and on Wednesday you're making bread, that bread you could eat with dairy. That's the Ramah in number 12. Question, there are those who argue on this Ramah and say, is this like mamash? I know this is shocking because Ramah says, no hagin heter lechatchila. You'd think that means lechatchila. That's no problem because it's lechatchila. It's ideal. It's fine. Not so fast. The Chochmas Adam in source 13 says, no. When the Ramah says lechatchila, he doesn't really mean lechatchila. He means you shouldn't do it. If you did it, it's okay. I realize it's not the simple words of the Ramah, but that's what Chochmas Adam learns. And that's number 13. Okay? So he says, the Bir Hagra in 14, he argues, and he holds like the simple reading of the Ramah. Avbuk Dera in Isu Lechatchila, She'ena Ben Yomo, Ela Mishun Gzera Atu Ben Yomo. Oh. Mash in Kan, Af Ben Yomo, Mutar Medina. Okay. I need to explain a principle. This is a very important principle in Halacha that has not really come up yet. You will notice that we've mentioned a few times over the last few weeks this concept of binyam and not binyam, right? I apologize. This concept has come up. We did. It came up. We read it. We read the Shulchan Aruch, but I'll explain it anyway. In fact, I think we even read the source in the Gemara. My mistake. But I'll explain it to everybody again. We said that something which is not binyam, meaning I made my meatloaf. The real boys made a meatloaf 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. And really, you'd think that today I should be able to do the meatloaf, make bread, eat with dairy. But we have a concept. And this halachic concept is that Eina bin Yomo, Ela Mishum Zera Atu bin Yomo. We actually, this is shocking, we actually treat an Eina bin Yomo item like a bin Yomo item. Why? Because we are worried if you're going to be like, oh, I used this 2 days ago. I can use it for milk. So I use it for flesh. So I use it for, right? In theory, if you use that principle, I could then use my pots and pans for milk and flesh, just rotate them back and forth and just keep a day in between, right? So today I make milk eggs. Tomorrow I make flesh eggs, right? I add meat in my eggs, right? One day I cook a chicken soup. The next day I make a cheese, whatever. Okay, you follow? So we have a, and by the way, what after all, the taste that was imparted after 24 hours is what's called repugnant. It's disgusting, and therefore it shouldn't usher the food. We have a very important principle. We do not do these things. Why? Gzera. We have a gzera that you're going to start playing around with things. It's called Atu Ben Yomo. you're going to start playing with things that are not binyomo, you might come to start playing around with things that are binyomo. Therefore, we do not do this, and therefore, says the Dir Hagra in 14, we generally would say you don't do this. Well, here we're not worried. Why? Because after all, Medina, it's at Mutter. Meaning, generally speaking, even though the Ben Yomo loaf pan that you're now using at dinner to make your bread, you should not use, you should do it, Ben Yomo. But says the Grau, you can't do it the next day. Why? What happened to the Gzera of, you're not allowed to, Gzera Asu Ben Yomo, you're not allowed to use things which is not Ben Yomo, Shena Ben Yomo, Elamishu Gzera Atu Ben Yomo. Why can't we say that concept? He says, we definitely do, but not here. The reason why we don't say that concept here, says the Gra, is because really it's mutter. Meaning, you made your bread in a loaf pan. You made your in a loaf pan that was used for fleshiks. Yes, that was used for fleshiks yesterday. And since really, according to many opinions, even if it was made in a fleshik loaf pan, you could use it for milchiks that night, right? That night, as we saw in the Shulchan Aruch. So therefore, by waiting a day, it's not ben yomo. We're not worried about the gzera, and he says it's permissible. Okay, Chochma Adam disagrees. Fine, turn the page to 158 or scroll down or whatever. David, if you want, you're going to be joining us. You're more than welcome to pick up a copy of the Sefer since you're in Thornhill. If you can put it in a mailbox or let me know when you come over, I'm happy to give you a copy.
I think the fourth, middle of fourth one still.
Yeah. I'm in the middle of the fourth one. We're here for a while. So if you want to have a couple extra books in my house, I'm giving them out. Okay. I mean, and PDFs are fine, but, you know, I know personally I would much rather have a book than a PDF, but then again, I'm also over 40, so. Okay. Now, let's go on. Like I said, these concepts are complex. I'm trying my best to explain them so that people understand, because they're really important. Number 15, Sefer Kashrus, Kali Visori Shino Ben Yomo. Again, my loaf pan that is used for a meatloaf, not have been used in a couple days. Look at this. He quotes the opinion of the Chachmas Adam. Even lechatchila, you should not cook in it something parv, like bread. Amenas lechlem malchichalav, to eat it with milchik. Elim kein b'shas atzarech, only if it's needed. And guess what? We do not hold like the Gra. We hold like the Chachmas Adam, and that's a general prevailing practice. My friends, my general prevailing practice is we do not use, we don't mix. Milchik pot, eat things with milchik. Fleshik pot, eat the fleshiks. Even if the item that comes out of it is parv, we do not mix it, and we've said that a number of times. Okay, new topic, kind of. Same principles, but new topic. This is a very famous topic in halacha, and that is you stick your spoon, you have a fleshik pot, you're making chicken soup, you're making meatloaf, you're making stir fry, you're making whatever. And now all of a sudden, let's use our first example because it's a little bit easier. It's soup. And you take a spoon that's milchik and you, by mistake, stir up your fleshik cauldron, your fleshik pot. And you're like, oh my goodness, what do I do? What do I do with my spoon? What do I do with my pot? What do I do with my food in my pot? What do I do? What do I do? Do I tell? Who do I tell? Right? Am I going to get in trouble? Here we go. Page 159, source 16. Let's read a Shulchan Aruch. Kiaros shel basar shodichu biyarech olav espachamin shayyad solad espachem. So I have a fleshik pot. What did I do with this pot? Very simple. I wash this pot. What did I wash it in? I wash it in a milchik basin. And there's hot water. The hot water is very hot. Yad solad espachem. We've discussed this in the past. It's around 43 degrees, right? 110, 43 degrees on the lower end, okay? So this is important because, of course, as you know, we write this bishul for Shabbos and for the transfer of taste. Because remember, no same time. Taste only transfers when there is heat. If there's no heat, there's no transfer of taste. So there's heat. So I took my meat bowl and I washed it in a dairy basin, hot water. Afilu shnehem ben yoman mutter. Wow. They're both permissible. My basin is permissible to be used later on, and my pot is used, according to the Shulchan Aruch, to use again. Why? I don't understand. I am mamish of cheese. I have dairy. And this sink, this basin, was used for meat not long ago. Answer. Mishum d'havelei no sin tam bar no sin tam de tera. The answer is because, let's face it, this makes sense to us because we used our pot now for fleshiks. Our basin was milchiks, but there's no real milchik in there. And therefore, even though it was used a few hours ago, it's no sin tam bar no sin la tera, meaning the milk is permissible, the fleshik is permissible, the meat is permissible. We just don't combine them together. This would have been a much bigger issue had my basin been treif. My basin is treif, and I'm washing my fleshik pot in there, and the basin was used recently for treif food, that would be a problem. But since it was only used for fleshik food, and my pot is dairy or vice versa, it's not a problem. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Hu shiyomar bari li shalohaya shum shuman davik ben. Now, stipulation time, everybody. You need to make sure that there's no fat or residue still left over. If there's, however, leftover fat, you mamash have fat in your, where's the leftover fat? On the bowl. Somebody saying it? Yeah, if there's residue stuck to your bowl, your kara, that's fleshek, then you're going to need 60 of the water against that meat that was left over, a little bit of meat stain. So again, when you're saying you're washing your fleshek pot, if you have your meatballs in there and you still have meatball content and you have fleshek residue and you have oil and fats and grease, that is not a good thing. In which case, you are going to need to have used 60 times the amount of water against that stain, which you probably did, right? That's my guess. And as we mentioned, 60 is the example. 60 to 1 nullifies, is a guarantee with very few exceptions, although there are exceptions. 60 to 1 is a nullifier, according to the rabbis, to nullify taste of that are of the two separate tastes. Okay? It nullifies it, overpowers it. That's what I want. That's a better word. Overpowers it. Says the Ramah. Not happy. And by the way, us Ashkenazim, the European Jews, the Shulchan Aruch is lenient in many places. The Ramah is machmir. It's a kashrus, especially. You see this over and over and over again. It says the Ramah in Source 16, no. Yesh osrin afilu in shuman davug behen. Your pot is now going to be aser, excuse me, even if there's no residue. Why? Unless you want to tell me that one of these utensils that you're washing is not binyomo since from the other day, and maybe it's not binyomo from a kli rishon. This is important. If this pot was not on the fire, the example that I used was with the meatballs. Meatballs is a kli rishon. Why is meatballs a kli rishon? This is a Shabbos concept because it's a first utensil. It's the first utensil because it sat on the fire. My plate is not a kli rishon. You do not cook on plates. Your plates do not go into an oven. Your plates don't go onto a stovetop, right? I mean, yeah, they don't, unless you're really not smart. So the that if it was a plate, that'd be different, because that's not your plates are not what is called fleshek kli rishon. Your meat plates, they're always klisheni, right? They're always, you know, you take your meatballs and you cook them in a big pot, you put meatballs on your plate. That's why it's called, your plate's called a klisheni. Whereas your big pot itself, you have meatballs, that's the klisheni, it goes on the fire itself. So it says if you have plates in there, that'd be a little bit different. That could be fine because it only absorbed meat from a klisheni, from a klisheni itself is a klisheni. That's the case, that's principle. But if shnehem ben yoma, and if everything there is by the way, I just realized something. I think my case was wrong. I apologize. We're talking about you have a dairy basin and there are dairy plates in there. You're washing meat and milk, pots and pans together. That's the scenario in 16. Okay? I believe that makes more sense. Okay, fine. That makes more sense because It's using the word plural all the time. V'az gama kelim. Okay, fine. Imahem shneim b'nei yaman. If, however, you have pots and pans of dairy and meat that are together, v'dircha osan b'yachah b'kli rishon. Yeah, that's a kol aser. So if I have meat and milk, pots and pans, together, and I wash them together, and they were all in a kli rishon, right? So if I wash them together in a kli rishon, meaning that I wash them together while there's something hot on the fire. Again, remember, you can't. Our image of sinks is not the image that we need to do here. They would clean things, believe it or not, on the fire, because I guess they'd use the heat from the fire because they didn't have hot water, right? They didn't have the hot water pipes and taps that we had, so they would actually use heat from the oven to help wash the dishes. So if you had them all mixed in together, that potentially could be an issue. It's a kli rishon. And if you have dairy and meat at the same time, and each one is contaminating each other with water splashing everywhere, that potentially could be a problem. And the Shulchan Aruch says, if they're both b'nei yoman, the pots and pans of the meat and milk are all b'nei yoman, they were used recently, you wash them together, that could be aser. Okay, and that's what the minhag is. Now, let's read that little explanation thing. According to the Shulchan Aruch, one may wash clean meat dishes inside a dairy basin, even if both are ben yoman, as in the case when it's permitted. The Ramah holds are forbidden. The Taz writes that the same dispute applies to using a dairy spoon. Okay, fine. That's the case. Again, you're washing them in a dairy basin. Oh, maybe there weren't fleischer plates. Maybe there weren't dairy plates in there. Maybe it's right the first time. I'm not sure. Says the Taz in 17, and this is going to be our extrapolation, which is going to be a very important second stage. It says the Taz, what? This same machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, the same machlokas applies to also using a dairy spoon inside a meat pot with par food. So let's say I take a dairy spoon to stir up my noodles. I have a dairy spoon and I have noodles that are being made in a meat pot. And a parv spoon A milk spoon stirs my pasta, which is being made in a meat pot, which is on the fire. That's the case. Okay? Again, my dairy spoon stirs my pasta, which is being made in a meat pot. So there's no meat, but it's a meat pot. Says the Taz in 17. Here we go. Phew. In his basho mayim o yirakos bagdera, if you're actually making vegetables or water, i.e. something pariv, something not meat, not milk, bagdera choleves, bas yoman, v'chat v'bo, kafsho basor ben yoman. Okay, so the Taz is using a flip case. The Taz is saying that you're using a dairy pot and you have a meat spoon. Fine, let's stick to the more case. Let's stick to the case of the Taz, not the Greenberg's case. That's what happens when you don't look ahead. So what do you do with the spoon? Says the Taz. In the fun case. Oh, what's our spoon? Our spoon is ben yomam. I just used our spoon not long ago for meat. The ain 60 keneged a kaf bas yoma. I do not have 60 against the spoon in this pot. I guess it's not a very large pot. What happens? If you get a kaf bas yoma, osrim zedzet, they're usher. My spoon is usher, and it appears my food is usher. Afsu shnehem mekuna chos yafeh. Says the Taz, what are you going to do with this meat spoon that was used recently? Well, it's very simple. I don't have 60 times the amount in the Ben Yoma spoon. Everything is going to usher, even if they're clean. Wow. This is a very machmir opinion. Fine. That's not my opinion. What are you going to do? And he also says this is a very common thing. I don't know why he thinks this is so common, but I guess he thinks this is so common, that a ben yoma spoon is being stirring up your par food. Okay. Phew, that was very, very intense, but it was very beautiful. 160 is a nice summary, and we will end with this. Let's go through a summary, and then Mirtz Hashem, this is a great place to end for the week. And we'll start with a very complicated topic of Dvar Harif, which is spicy foods, which are governed by different principles. So here we go again. We have the case, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah. And guess what? In each case, the Ramah is Machmir, right? So again, so par food cooked in a ben yamo meat dish. Shulchan Aruch says, no problem. Ramah says, no, only with the evid is okay. What about cooking parv in a meat dish? And your intention is to eat it with dairy. Says the Shulchan Aruch, it's split. Shulchan Aruch and Sfaradim are split. Of course, the Ramah is Machmir, as we saw. And we're cooking parv in a non-ben yamo meat dish with the intent to eat with dairy. Shulchan Aruch is 1% permissible. Again, Ashkenazim, our practice is to say that it is aser. And a dairy spoon used in a meat pot with par food, Shulchan Aruch says mutter. And guess what? The classic azotaz, that is the halacha, and everything is forbidden. The utensils are both ben yomo. And I want to add, I should email the author here. You should have written something here. Everything is forbidden when what? Only if you don't have 60, right? That's important to mention. If you do have 60, everything will not be awesome. Okay, put a little asterisk in your book, in your PDFs. Okay, let's end there for today. Great to see everybody. It was a tremendous week. This was a difficult week. Not Barnat, La Tera, La Isser, Ben Yomo, not Ben Yomo, No St. Tom, Lifgam, No St. Tom, La Shevach. We learned concepts like Zeras, Ben Yomo, Asu, Eno Ben Yomo, Asu Ben Yomo. Great, great concepts this week that are the bedrock of our tradition, of our Mesorah. Now we can appreciate and understand everything that we do from the actual sources themselves, from literally, the incredible sources of our sages, of our rabbis, of Divrei Chazal. And now we appreciate what's going on in the world in the halachic world that we live in. So have a great week, everybody. Enjoy the end of the week. Shalom. Have a good Shabbos, good weekend, and see you on Tuesday morning or on the streets of Thornhill.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Bye. Great to see you all. Thanks for joining.